All right, in your Bibles, in Exodus chapter 3, I'm going to read a couple of verses here, and then we're going to turn over to chapter number 15. But in Exodus chapter 3, verse number 7, the Bible says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hevites, and the Jebusites." All right? All right, in chapter number 15 now, I want you to look over there. Let's read a couple of verses. Let's look at verse number 26 of Exodus chapter 15. It says, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters." Now, I've skipped a lot of space in here, but we know that the Lord had the children of Israel in bondage for some 400 years. And just as He'd promised, He sent a deliverer to them to bring them out from that bondage and redeem the people from slavery over in Egypt. And now, picking up over in chapter number 15, we see that the plagues have fallen upon Egypt, and the children of Israel have come out from under bondage with a mighty hand of God. And God did just exactly what He said He would do for them. And looking at this passage of Scripture right here that we're coming from tonight, I want to preach on this thought tonight: from Egypt to Elim. From Egypt to Elim. Now, Egypt, as I say, is a type of bondage. It's a place of bondage where they were slaves. And these people had never known what it was like to be free. Just like a lost person, in a way. A lost person has no idea what it's like to be saved. And you can't comprehend it. You can't really explain it to them until they experience for themselves that of salvation. And I'm glad the Lord, He does something for us that nothing else can do when He brings us out of the bondage of sin and under the bondage and curse of sin. But listen tonight, friend, as Egypt is a place of bondage, Elim is a type of the abundant life for those that are redeemed. And I want you to notice some things about getting from Egypt to Elim. Now, when you're newly redeemed or a young Christian, young saved person in the Lord, I guess you think at first maybe everything's just going to be a bed of roses. Because when you get saved and you're so happy and everything, the whole world just looks different to you when you first get saved. But let me tell you, we're still in a world today that's under a curse. We're still in a world today where there's a real devil. And we're still in a world, friend, that's not heaven. Amen? And God's not going to let this thing down here be heaven. Amen? He's getting us ready for heaven, though, ain't He? Amen? But let me tell you something tonight. As we journey from Egypt to Elim, there's going to be some things that we face in life that we just frankly don't like. Amen? But I want you to look tonight as this newly redeemed people, they had the Lord come down, sent Moses in to deliver them by the mighty hand, and they saw all the miracles that God brought down over there in Egypt now. Now they're headed on a journey toward Canaan land. But listen tonight, I want you to look at some things with me in the Bible tonight. In chapter 14, let's look at a few things right here in Genesis chapter 14. First of all, I want you to notice the waters of the sea, how it was a barrier to them. And I suppose they were perplexed as God had delivered them. He'd done all He said He was going to do to the Egyptians, and now He's brought them out to a place in the wilderness, and He's brought them to the Red Sea. Now, let me tell you something as a Christian today. There's going to be some things that'll come your way in life that's going to leave you scratching your head. It's going to leave you wondering where God's at. it's going to make you wonder why God has brought you to this particular place and this particular particular thing in life. But notice this, friend, the waters of the Red Sea. Let me tell you something, it became a test to them. God doesn't do anything by accident. It was a test. God brought them to this great barrier of water right here. And the Egyptians were pursuing them from behind, and God was following them with a cloud in the day and fire at night. God was going to provide everything that these children needed, but God was putting them to a test to make them learn to lean upon Him and to trust Him and to call upon Him. He's going to do the very same thing to you and I. Hey, have you ever got into a mess or got into a great trial or something has come up in your life and you just don't really know what to do, and maybe you get to thinking, well, where's God at? Why has God done this to me? Let me tell you something. You better be still and see the salvation of the Lord. Trust Him. Seek Him at these times, friend, because God is real in your troubles. Amen? Listen to me. It was a test. Let me tell you, there's some things that's going to come your way in life. Listen to me now. There's some things that's going to come your way and my way in life that we can't get through, we can't get around, we can't get over without God's help. And that's exactly what He had done to the children of Israel right here. He brought them to the Red Sea, and He had the Egyptians pursuing them from behind, and they were just up against it. Didn't know what to do. It was a test for them. But notice not only the test, but notice the temptation in chapter number 14 right here. The Bible says in verse number 10, when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. They were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Belly aching, questioning God, questioning the man of God. You ever got in that kind of shape? Huh? Sure. You're human, probably. Now, if you've had a big trouble to come upon you, you're wondering, why has God done this? And they were tempted, no doubt, to look back at Egypt and wish they just stayed there. Anybody ever just sort of backslid on God? Sometimes trouble will just make you want to turn back. Amen? It will. But let me tell you this, friend. God wants us to trust Him. And we have to learn these lessons the hard way sometime. Or if we don't learn them, we have to take them over. Amen? He's going to put us to the test. But notice not only the test and the temptation, friend, but notice right here the trust. In verses 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Now imagine they were thinking, well, what's going to happen right here? I mean, they had the Red Sea here and they had the Egyptians behind them. And Moses said, well, you ain't going to see them no more after today. Got them wondering, I guess. And the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak to the children of Israel, that they go forward. Now listen, I want you to notice something right here. God hadn't parted the sea yet. But He said, I want you to go forward. And they were thinking, well, how in the world are we going to go forward? There's a sea out here. You ever get yourself in a mess, friend, and you know that you're saved, and you want to serve God, but you just don't know what to do? Well, God wants you to go forward. He don't want you to turn back. He don't even want you standing still in your Christian walk. He wants us going forward. And there are going to be some things that we just ain't going to understand, and we're going to need God's help to get us through. So God showed His mighty power that night. Listen, friend. He says, speak to them and to go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. You see right here, friend, the waters of the sea, it was a barrier to them. But for the Egyptians, it would be a burial. God opened the sea and they crossed over that sea on dry ground. And when the Egyptians pursued, God caused the waters to flow back in upon them. It literally happened. Amen. God said He did it. And so listen to me. From Egypt to Elam, there's going to be some barriers that will come up in your life that you're just going to need God to get you through it. Have you ever had a great trial come up in your life and God come through for you? Amen. He'll do it. And I tell you what it'll do for you. A great trial comes up in your life and you lean upon God, you trust God, you cry out to God, you beg God for help, and God comes through. It'll strengthen your faith. It'll make you closer to Him. It'll help you in your Christian life. Amen. Hey, there's some things, friend, that God wants you to lean upon Him for. There's some things that God wants you to call upon Him for. There's some things that you ain't going to get through with Dr. Phil and Oprah and all the counselors of this old world right here. We need God in our life. We need to trust Him and watch Him work. He said, I'll fight for you. Amen. He ever fought a battle for you that you done throwed in the towel on and He brought you out of it anyway? Hey, He did a great, great work for them there that day. The waters of the sea, but notice secondly tonight, the words of a song. The blessing of the words of their song in chapter number 15. They've crossed over the Red Sea. They've looked back and they see the Egyptians washing upon the shore, the dead bodies everywhere. God had did a great miracle for them there. In chapter 15 and verse number 1, the Bible says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. Hey, listen to me. We got an old redback hymnal right here that we sang out of. And let me tell you why we sang these old songs of Zion. Because God has done something for us that nobody else could ever do. Let me tell you what He's done. He's took all our sins away from us. He's given us a chance at life. He's saved our soul, friend. Hey, He's coming to get us one of these days. Why shouldn't we sing praises to Him? Why shouldn't we give Him all the glory tonight? He's been good to us, hasn't He? Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song, unto the Lord. When we sang, we ought to sing to Him. I ain't a singing to you. You ain't a singing to me, but we ought to be singing to Him because He's triumphed gloriously in our life for what He done on Calvary's cross. They had a song to sing. Well, I'm glad we got some songs of triumph to sing, ain't you? Hey, God's been good to us, hasn't He? They begin to sing about the Lord has become my strength. And my song, my salvation. Hey, He's the power in our life. He's the security in our life, ain't He? God's promises are sure. You can count on God's promises. Listen to me. I got to listening to some of the politicians last night. It's astounding what all they promise. My Lord, you think they's God. The many things that they're going to fix in this world, well, you just wait till next, when is it? When they inaugurate them? Next January, February, whenever it is? Well, we're just going to be in heaven after that. It don't matter who we elect, every one of them's going to fix everything. I mean, there's going to be a job for everybody. Everybody don't want a job, you're just going to get a check. I mean, it's going to be wonderful. Hey, well, it's a mess, ain't it? We gullible, ain't we? Ain't people stupid? And politicians know it. I mean, it's like dangling a worm in front of a hungry fish. We bite it all. Lord help us. The words of a song, what a blessing. If you read this chapter right here, boy, they were praising God. They were They were looking back at what God had done for them, and they even spoke a little bit about what God was going to do. And that ought to be part of our song too. I'm glad of what God's done in the past, but I'm glad what He's going to do in the future, ain't you? God's promises are true. Okay. The waters of the sea and the barrier, the words of the song and the blessing, but the wilderness of Shur and the bitterness they found there. Now here I want you to notice this right here in the same chapter now, verse number 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. They were fixing to take another test here. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah, or bitterness. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord. The Lord showed him a tree. And when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Now notice this about this wilderness of Shur. I looked up that word Shur, and it means fortification, or it means to be shut in. Now they'd gone, some people say there was between 1 million and 2 million people. And they've gone 3 days now out in this wilderness with no water. And now they've arrived at water, and it's bitter. They can't drink it. Can I tell you, have you ever just come up in with something in life that you just had a hard time swallowing? Anybody ever made that statement? Well, I got a hard time of swallowing that. You ever heard that statement? Well, they'd come to a place of bitterness. Anybody bitter in here tonight? Bitterness. It's easy to let bitterness come into your life. If there's something you can't get over, it's a good way to get bitterness started growing in your life. And it'll eat on you like a cancer. It'll just keep a growing and growing and growing. If you got bitterness in your life, you better do something about it tonight. Notice the barrenness of the wilderness. You know what? They needed water. They needed the right kind of water. Amen? That's the way we are in the Christian life. We need the water of the Word of God. Amen? We need to feed and drink off of the things of God out of this Bible right here, friend. And let me tell you something. The Bible says over in Isaiah chapter number 12, look at this right here. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 12, "Therefore with joy shall you drink water out of the wells of salvation." We need a good drink of water. Amen? And a lot of folks depend on church to get them to the watering hole. Amen? But let me tell you something. I like to drink out of the Bible every day. Amen? There ought to be something within a Christian today that makes him get thirsty for the things of God. Right? And listen, I'm glad Liberty Baptist Church has been a great watering hole for a lot of people. Amen? We come to church on Sunday and we get to drink out of this well of the joy of salvation and enjoy the things of God. But as we go out into Monday and Tuesday and head into Wednesday, there ought to be a thirst coming up within us. Amen? Just like these people right here were in the wilderness. This whole world's a wilderness, friend. You can try everything in this world, but it ain't going to satisfy like the things of God. Amen? Let me tell you, they found no water. You ain't going to find nothing out here in this world that'll satisfy your spiritual thirst. We need God. We need to be drinking out of the right water, right wells today. They was in a barrenness wilderness, friend, and there was bitterness in the water. Jesus stood up one day and he cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." He's the one we need to drink from tonight. Amen. We need to be growing in Christ, and we need to be learning more and more about Him and the things of the Word of God, and we ought to be adding it into our life each day. The bitterness of the water. God may bring you to a place of bitterness. Amen. Now, God was leading them. He leads His children. God may lead you to a place of bitterness to see how you'll respond to it. You can stay bitter or you can get better. God had a recipe for him right here of how to get better, how to get through the bitterness of life. And let me tell you something. There is a way that you can overcome bitterness. Amen. Listen to me tonight. Notice first of all, though, instead of getting better when things got bitter, they got to backbiting. You ever see anybody just meaner than the devil? Have you? You ever seen anybody that's just got an old sour attitude, negative attitude, always just got bitterness about them? I've seen them. I know some people that way. I don't know what it is about them, what's come up in their life that's made them that way, but some folks are just, I don't know. They just got a big problem with bitterness. And they want you to be bitter too. Amen? They want you to sign off with them, join them, be bitter with them, be miserable, be hateful. And you ain't no good for nobody, you ain't no good for your family, you ain't no good for yourself. Bitterness is a problem. And it'll lead to backbiting. You know what they did? They wanted to blame Moses. Started backbiting Moses. I know ain't none of y'all ever talked about the preacher. Huh? Y'all ain't never had preacher for dinner on Sunday? How about Wednesday night supper? Backbiting. The man of God, Moses, done put his life on the line. Moses went against the most powerful man in the world, Pharaoh, and all his armies. Just him and his brother, all they had in God. Laid his life on the line to be obedient to God and bring him out of bondage. Now what they going to do? They going to chew him up and spit him out. Because they've come to a watering hole and it's bitter. Let me tell you something. You better do something about bitterness in your life. If you got a problem, it's going to rob you of your joy. Amen. Drinking that old bitter water every day, you're going to have to get better. But there's a recipe for getting better. Notice this right here. Not only the backbiting of their words they murmured against Moses, but the blessings of the water. Can I tell you something? God can make your trial a blessing. Amen? Have you ever seen anybody go in a great trial? Maybe they're locked in that thing and God eventually delivers them from it. And it turns into a blessing. Not necessarily just for them, but for other people that can see what God has done for them. And maybe they can help somebody else that's going through the same thing. God can make your trial a blessing. But notice this right here, what he says in verse 25. The people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. Can I tell you something? Jesus died on a tree. Jesus died on a tree. That whatever comes our way in life, we can have victory. Amen? Whatever situation we find ourselves in, if we're bitter, if we'll just look at what Christ has done, Christ had every right in the world to be bitter, didn't he? Amen. He came into this world to his own, and his own received him not. They ridiculed him. They rejected him. They spit on him. They mocked him. They slapped him. They plucked out his beard. They crowned him with thorns. They hung him on a cross. They beat him with a cat of nine tails. Hey, if anybody had a right to be bitter, friend, it would be Christ, wouldn't it? No, he wasn't bitter. That's what he came into the world to do. Hey, to suffer for you and me that we could go free. That we wouldn't have to end up one of these days in this life with a bitter end heading to a devil's hell. Listen to me tonight. Bitterness. Better be careful. Better get to the cross. Better get to the cross. Better get that cross into your bitterness. He'll make it sweet, just like he did these waters. Not only the waters of the sea, it was a barrier. The words of a song, it became a blessing to them. The wilderness of Shur and the bitterness. But notice this as we go on to the last two verses in this chapter. The wells of sufficiency. The blessings of the wells of sufficiency. Now they came through this experience of making the bitter waters sweet, but they had to move on. And as Christians, we got to keep moving. Amen? There's no time to sit down. They were headed toward Canaan land. We're heading towards heaven's land. And we need to be leaving some marks along this way as we go for those that come along behind us. Some old pathways that they can follow. Some lessons that we've learned that we can teach and show them. But he says this in verse 26. Says, and he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, wilt give ear to his commandments, keep all his statutes, I'll put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Notice this, the wells of sufficiency. He says, he gives them a proposal right here. He says, if you'll hearken diligently, if you'll just listen. Anybody listening tonight? That's what God is saying right here to the children of Israel. Hey, if you'll hearken diligently. I mean, he didn't say just listen. He said, you be careful to listen to everything I've got to say to you. You're going to need it down the road. He said, if you'll hearken diligently. Hey, diligently, friend. He proposed that to him, a blessing to him. Not only the proposal of hearkening diligently, but the promise of help that he declared. He said, I'll put none of these diseases upon thee which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. He's our help. He's promised us that he is our help. And we certainly need him, don't we? The wells of sufficiency. Hearken diligently. Help is declared. But notice this, the place. Notice this, the place in verse 27. And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. This was a place of temporary camping. They wouldn't settle in there. But God brought them to a place right here where there were 12 wells of water, 70 palm trees. Now, they were traveling through the wilderness. Now, what a blessing this was to the place where they came to. Now, notice this. It was a heavenly dwelling place. Why? They had everything they needed there. God had brought them another step in the way. And He'd made them set together by 12 wells of water. Water had been their problem. And now God's just supplied an abundance to them. And He's given them palm trees to set under there and to camp under there. What a blessing God has brought to His people right there. But these wells of sufficiency, and how does that apply to you and me today? As God has brought them through test by the Red Sea, test by the bitter waters, now He's brought them to a heavenly place right here. A place where they can sit down and relax and just enjoy the blessings of God. Isn't that what we all desire? Is this life, it's like a wilderness. And we're just pilgrims and strangers here for a short time, friend. And there's things that we're going to face in this life that's going to just knock our feet out from under us. There's going to be barriers to come up that we just can't get through without God. There's going to be experiences that come our way that's going to trouble us and puzzle us and possibly make us bitter if we're not careful. But God has now moved and brought them to a better place, a place where they can rest. Notice here what God has done for us in closing tonight. In Ephesians 2, He says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Boy, that's kind of like those people were back down in Egypt. They had no hope. No hope except God come along and get them out. But this was us. We were a mess. We were dead spiritually. We were depraved. We had desires that were devilish friend. We were a mess, and God comes along with mercy for us. It says in verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." Listen to this now. "And hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." I'm glad there's times, friend. Hey, there's been times that this old world out here has had me beat down, had me defeated, and I've come into the heavenly place here that God has set up for us at Liberty Baptist Church. I've come in here, friend. I've got to some wells, friend, where I could get refreshed from God's water. Hey, and leaving the world outside, friend, and getting some help that I needed in my life. I'm glad that He's prepared for us, friend, a heavenly place. There's times when you need it, and I need it. And we need the house of God. He said togetherness right here. Raised us up together. We need each other even, don't we? Amen. There's been times when I've come to the house of God defeated, and somebody's spark a fire somewhere. Somebody get things to rolling, and things go to picking up, and the Spirit of God gets to moving and overflowing, and before I know it, it's done poured out upon me, friend, and there gets to be joy unspeakable and full of glory down at the house of God. From Egypt to Elam, God wants to move you through some things in your life. He don't want you to get broke down anywhere in life and let the burdens of life defeat you. He wants you to keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. If you will, you'll come to that heavenly place where God will feed you, where you'll get refreshed, get restored, get ready for the next step in your Christian walk. That's what these children of Israel were doing. That's what God was trying to teach them. Keep pressing on. Things is going to be tough. There's some things you're going to have to get over. You ain't to Canaan land yet. We ain't to heaven yet. But we're headed there. Amen. God's going to teach us some things before we get there too. I guarantee you that. You need to be prepared to get through them. Amen. All right. I appreciate you being here tonight.